Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunk Ready Audio 1151. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamita. What is up, good sir?
Not a heck of a lot, Kevin. How about yourself?
I was hoping this frogginess would go away by the time we
Ooh.
recorded. It has not.
So you came down with the WrestleMania flu then?
No. Well, I mean, this is the only thing that I have. Other than that, I'm doing okay. So, I will take that. So, no, has that been a common thing?
I believe it has been a common thing in prior years, especially with the people who go to way more shows than we did.
Oh, yeah, we well. I mean, I only went to both WrestleMania propers. You also attended the Raw after
Yes, I
WrestleMania.
did, and boy, do I have a lot to say about that experience.
We will get there in due time, Stunt Granny audience. But hey, I know that it's at this point old history. I was still a little bit surprised at this point. I thought that we had an okay time night one. Then everyone started complaining about it online, and that really, I guess, not that we didn't see some of the problems that people ended up talking about. But I guess in real time, it felt like the show was moving okay.
Yeah, it moved fine. I mean it was fine. It was I did I yeah. You're right. It moved fine. Even though it didn't, there were certainly not as many highs as there were on as there were for night two.
Oh, yes, and that can be gotten due to.
And there was definitely night one seems to be the night that people feel watching from home, especially, they feel like it didn't flow well at all. The ad breaks were soul crushing. Some people might say the entrances were too long, and yes, in multiple cases, there the enter that the two entrances combined to be longer than the match itself.
Yes. I mean, I would have to say the vast majority, looking at the times of the matches, I would say that the entrances were probably longer than Usos versus The Vision and iShow Speed. That match was only 7 minutes long. The
Oh, Jey
women's
Uso. Oh, the Usos alone. Yeah.
the women's Fatal Four Way match was 8.5 minutes long. So yeah, that's a lot of entrance time. Even really, I do think Becky Lynch and AJ Lee got to it as far as getting down to the ring. I don't feel like either of them really dawdled as most. Well, I guess there was maybe a little bit, but not much. But still, 8 minutes, 15 minutes, or 8 minutes, 15 seconds. And then obviously the most egregious one saved for last here. Also, latest on the card as you look at it, Liv Morgan versus Stephanie Vaquer. I feel like the Liv Morgan entrance really got a lot of unnecessary hate.
Oh, so unnecessary hate. I mean, what is wrong with you? What is wrong with you people? That's what I'll say to that.
I am in the camp of I am confused why you're trying to present a heel as a pop star, but other than that, yes, zero. That is not a true argument for me. That's just something that's more of an overarching problem. If you're going to come out with this video, though, that entrance makes 100% sense. So,
Yeah.
reasoning notwithstanding, that made a lot of sense. And yes, it was a good match or a good entrance, I would say. So yeah, it was kind of wild to know that there were soul-crushing breaks. And I don't know if this is just because I had beer before heading into night one and did not have any heading into night two. Restroom breaks kept me busy during some of these longer breaks, I've got to admit. So that maybe made things not feel quite as bad live as they were it for the home viewers. We also did not get as many commercials as the home viewers, that is for sure.
No, we the evolution of commercials since the days of Peacock, it's always been something of an issue with something that we considered we still, even though we're 12 years past the debut of the WWE Network, we still consider these pay-per-views, and they shouldn't, and that they just should not have ad breaks at all.
Oh.
Peacock, you only saw ads if you didn't have the premium tier. Otherwise, you saw the video packages or whatever else. ESPN is forcing everyone to watch regular commercials for $29.99, for $29.99, basically. And these ad breaks are
Yeah.
getting longer, are definitely longer than the ones on Peacock. I certainly felt it during Rumble and Elimination Chamber.
No.
It's a problem with streaming ads that in general, that there's a smaller stock of them. So you see somebody the same ads over and over again.
Oh yeah, that is always brutal. The number of breaks and just the repetition of the ads is really rough. And like you said, it's not just a wrestling problem. The wife complains about ads popping up on her apps that she wants to use for watching other stuff.
Right now, I mean, yeah. So yeah, I mean, it's definitely a problem, and of course, the price point for ESPN is definitely an issue for people to also get these kind of very intrusive ads in the stadium. All we the only thing we had to sit through was the WWE sponsored ads, which is wrestlers in them talking whatever product or service.
Yeah, there was a lot of we got a lot of Snickers commercials, that's for
A lot
sure.
of Snickers.
I was a little bit disappointed we did not get the tax commercial, I don't think. That's that is one of
I
my
think that's a
favorites.
Netflix exclusive. I think that's a Netflix exclusive, unfortunately.
Well, boo to that. Boo. Do find that one at least somewhat amusing. And it still boggles the mind that Snickers has mostly been sponsoring WrestleMania since I think we remember WrestleMania 2000 being one of the first times they advertised on there, and that my friend is wild.
Yeah, it's definitely, yeah. No, they love their Snickers, and Snickers loves their WWE.
Yep. So, I guess since we are so far past this, I don't feel like there's a whole lot of reason to get too deep here. The opening six-man tag team match with the Usos and LA Knight versus the Vision. Yeah, I mean, it just kind of was what it was, right? I
Yeah, it was
mean,
what it
there
was.
isn't
It was
a whole lot to
it was a
get into.
showcase for iShow speed. He did everything right that was expected of him. Is that the match was what it was. Usos and LA Knight pick up the win after the match. Logan Paul blames Isho Speed for the loss, beats up him. They're about to put Isho Speed through a table. Usos and LA Knight go in for the save, put Logan Paul on the table. Isho Speed of all people is jumps off the top rope to put Logan Paul through a table, and then they all yeet to start the night off on a happy note.
Yeah, and to really nail down the stuff around the match longer than the match itself.
Absolutely. Yes.
Plenty of yeeting before the match and after the match. What I would call maybe the first surprise of many question mark of the weekend here. I was not expecting Drew McIntyre to take the L to Jacob Fatu here. This was did you predict otherwise, sir?
Jeremy and I both predicted otherwise.
Oh, okay.
No. I
Yeah, we
mean,
thought it was
it.
Shahid and I thought it'd be a make good for Drew McIntyre not getting kicked out of the championship picture here. So that was the reasoning on our end. Yeah, you guys had had reasoning otherwise.
Yeah, well, the rumors that Drew is going to be leaving to film a movie, which may or may not be happening. Plus, it's WrestleMania. Jacob Fatu has had yet to get any kind of a statement win since his return, so I figured that this was it, and he got it. I mean, if you're going to predict that Jacob Fatu is going to win the title, going to win the match, you'd probably in a non-sanctioned match, you'd probably predict that he'd win with a moonsault through a table onto Drew McIntyre. It's just like it flowed ex it flowed like a WWE hardcore match. It was no more, no less than that. It was fine. It was decent.
Yeah, and of note, since it ended up happening later in the night, no blood in the unsanctioned match here.
No blood on the ESPN too.
So and then first true surprise of the night here, Paige makes a
Oh yes.
comeback to be Brie Bella's tag team partner in the women's tag team match.
But was it as that much of a surprise because it leaked out? And Brie Bella is not happy about it.
Yeah, that was kind of funny that I believe I did see that later that someone had to sign up that said "Welcome back, Paige," in the shot that they did up close with them. And I'm just like, yeah, like I guess I was unaware that she was getting ready to come back, but it would seem that that people did know in advance.
It got out pretty much the day before. I mean, and then they had to do some degree of damage control with Nikki Bella saying that she was ready to go when she was interviewed, I think on the Hall of Fame red carpet. But it's pretty obvious. They always knew Nikki wasn't making it, and this decision was made had to be made a decent amount of time ago.
Yeah. Honestly, the biggest question that I had about this one was more not even related to the match itself. It was weird to me that they strung out the Asuka, Kairi, Io Sky thing, all things considered, given that it seemed like they might take the spot of the Bellas because of the injury.
Yeah,
That
that
was,
was never the plan, but
yeah.
the way night two went, they were always better off not being thrown onto WrestleMania. in the least
Oh.
important match of the whole week, and be seen as like a least important match, the bathroom match. They deserve better than that. So it's just how the cards would have fallen. You know, it just.
Yes, and the difference between having all these entrances and having seven matches and having all these entrances and having six matches is huge.
Yeah. And the
You
ads.
know, and the ads, but yeah, they would have been stuck as the seventh match and probably would not have even pulled Liv Morgan and Stephanie Vaquer numbers, honestly.
No, they would not have.
So, okay, that news got out about Paige earlier than expected, but I thought that if Nikki was healthy, I predicted a Bella's win. So I guess I was at least partially right here.
Yeah, and I think it's been said, it has been put out there that the Bellas were going to win, no matter what. So this didn't really change. This only changed one of the people involved. Paige is back. She looked good. She really, everything she did was crisp. She looked better than in any of her performances in AEW. Good for her. Happy for her. I don't think she ever did any. A lot. I know she had a lot of negativity around her over the last probably almost de nearly de de decade now, it seems. But
Yeah, it's been kind of a long time, which is pretty wild. But
when
I'm
you
trying to
really ask
remember when
yourself,
she.
it's probably the negativity around her. I
It
maybe late in
definitely
her.
started with her and Alberto Del Rio
Yeah, the
being a
Alberto
thing.
stuff, then that singer guy that she was dating, who everyone thought was an asshole, and just like, and she stuck by him. But I guess they've been broken up for a little while. She herself has been sober for like 8 years or something. I mean she was basically,
Yeah,
an
so
alcoholic. She was
26.
basically an alcoholic before her 21st birthday, essentially, I think is part of her story. Nothing, you
Yeah,
can't drink
so.
it. Not that 21 is the age in jolly old England either.
No, I was allowed to pick up beverages at a younger age. Granted, I was 20, but when
But
I was
suffice to
over in
say, all this to
Florida.
say,
Yeah, she was out
you
2016.
yeah, that's when things really started to fall. That's when her neck started to really fall
Yeah,
apart.
and
That's when.
2018 is the official retirement then.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, what did she ever do to deserve to never get her life back?
Oh yeah, I mean, it definitely seems like there has been a lot of improvement with the recovery and neck injuries for wrestlers all
Yeah.
around. The WWE schedule is definitely more friendly to that now than it was in the past. And hey, when you're in a tag team, you take less bumps.
Well, her partner is Brie Bella, who's thus far only had like four matches in the last like 8 years or something like that. So she may be called upon more than you'd think to carry the load here too.
That's a fair enough statement. Bree looked fairly sharp though too, I
Brie
thought.
was fine. And again, this you know, but like the word I'm just keep using, this match was fine. And it had a and it had a feel good moment. It had, it. Yeah, it yeah. I mean, the two of them as champions, though. We'll see how it goes. We'll see how Nikki's ankle heals and how she feels about being the third wheel as things go on. Certainly, in your story, you could tell there.
Oh yeah, and in the meantime, you get I'm not gonna say dream matches, but you definitely get Brie and Paige against some younger competition that they had not
I mean,
faced
some of the
the
younger
first time they
competition,
were
right?
in the WWE.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's even kind of wild that there wasn't that much overlap between some of these older wrestlers, honestly, even like Charlotte Flair or Bayley, that you can still There's definitely been enough time in between that that match can be worked. Okay, next up, Becky Lynch, AJ Lee. Becky Lynch wins back the Women's Intercontinental Championship. Yeah, this was I guess maybe some news after the fact that also wasn't completely surprising. AJ Lee not really long around for the long haul here.
No, there were definitely point. She would give lip service to the idea that there's so many people she wants to wrestle and all that. But I mean, yeah, she ended up wrestling Becky and one match against Bayley, who's her friend. So yeah, I'm not as negative on her return as our cohort Jeremy Mays. But you can look back at it all now and realize that she's not built for the women's wrestling of 2026.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, we've kind of talked about the
When you're tiny and you already have a bad neck, and you're in some
Yeah.
ways maybe your heart and your head isn't totally in it, and the wrestler lifestyle caused her a lot of trouble being bipolar and all that, so it. And of course, but of course now there's no house shows or anything, so that part was easier. But
Even with
yeah,
that all said, like she still wasn't exactly a weekly character.
no, she was not that ill either. No.
Even pop, not that I expected her to wrestle a whole lot, but she wasn't even really like popping in
Right.
to do mini promos or anything
Right.
like that. So.
There was a week in the middle here where we were like, is this match even still on? I mean, no one's even talking about it.
Yeah, that match maybe didn't ha I mean, A, it had had enough history that it was hard to build more hype for it. Yeah, it's two kind of part-timers. I kind of hate saying Becky Lynch is a part-timer, honestly, because she shows up more than she doesn't, honestly. Anywho, Becky Lynch gets to keep her title and start to have more matches against more other people here. Her husband was up next. He was defeated by Gunther with some help from one Mr. Braun Breaker. It really felt like the WWE did everything they could to wait out having the actual Braun Breaker and Seth Rollins match at WrestleMania here. And they evidently could not, but Braun Breaker got enough clearance to participate in the around the match shenanigans, should we say, with a
Yeah,
couple of very big spears on Seth.
this was probably before the interference. This was probably the best match of night one. I'd say that pretty confidently. It was just it,
Yeah,
until then they were having
shocking.
they're
Two of the best wrestlers in the WWE have good wrestling matches.
right. Well,
Well, and they
yeah.
were given time too. It did
They were
help that
given
they were
time.
given time.
Yeah, they were given time. They had a good match. Braun Breaker gets involved at the finish, as a lot of people are thinking he would. Spears Rollins, who gets put in the sleeper, but he gets put out. And then as Rollins is limping away from the ring, Ricker's up on the top of the stage, decides he's just gonna take a run down that, and he was booking it down that ramp, and oh, and he hit that version of the spear where you kind of like bounce off the guy rather than just drill him to, into the floor, which is
Yeah, I think it
probably
was a combination of maybe he was going a little
well,
too fast
yes, he
and
was. He was great. He.
maybe it, it's just tricky because he's
Oh,
on
it
the
is.
ramp and Seth Rollins is on the flat. So it's harder to kind of judge your launch point, I would think. Yeah, it didn't look as impressive as it could have. You know, like I feel
No.
like some other spears he's done have looked more impressive than that
Oh
one.
yeah. Yeah, he yeah, but there was so much that could have gone. I mean, you could tell Seth moved away from the ring so that Braun
Oh.
didn't bash himself headfirst on the metal underneath the apron. You know, that could have been a disaster, as tragedy if he had hit that.
Yeah, that one would have been a little rough if something like that ended up happening. So that covers match five. At match six, we already talked about the entrances. Liv Morgan defeats Stephanie Vaquer, proving Stephanie correct that she needs the whole Judgment Day squad to win a match. So.
Yeah. You
Which
can
is
tell that
fine. She's
story.
a heel.
It was fine. It was fine. Yes, this was the match with the entrance of the weekend with Liv Morgan doing her live routine of her song, and as you know, in honor of Britney Spears MTV Video Music Awards a performance from 25 years ago or what have you, an homage, which was.
It did have a very Britney Spears slash Christina Aguilera kind of vibe
Yeah,
to the situation.
it's not so much the pop girls of the day, but the pop girls of the day of Liv Morgan's childhood for sure. I'm sure she got a kick out of doing all this, and it certainly added to the pageantry. And they won. Again, match was fine, short. They didn't get a super amount of time here. Yes, and Liv Morgan, of course, relies on the interference from. Or at least distraction from Raquel and Roxanne to capture her second women's world championship, I believe.
At least second. I'm trying to remember. I don't know why I want to say that she said third on Raw on Monday, but I could be incorrect about that.
I don't think it's third, but yeah,
Yeah,
who knows? I don't remember.
obviously at least
I don't recall
second,
what she said. I was there,
but
but I don't recall
not a
exactly what she
biggie.
said. No, not a biggie. Not a biggie. But yes. And we have in three championship matches, three new champions on night one heading into the main event. But before we get to the main event, we have John Cena announcing the attendance and then being surprised with an appearance by Bianca Belair.
Yes, and the surprises continued. I'm not sure if this was out there or not
It was definitely
either.
not out there. They hit this. They hit everything very well. They hit this very well.
Bianca Belair announces that she is in fact pregnant
And
and
she's a, and
will
according to Montez Ford, is about 6 months pregnant. So they really kept this thing a secret.
yeah, they've really kept it under wraps. I mean, I'm not surprised given the size that she was showing there at some juncture there. It really gets hard to hide, but considering she was wearing a Ric Flair-esque gown down to the ring, it's a little bit easier to hide in such an outfit. That was that. We are not getting Bianca Belair back anytime soon. I would not think.
No, we are not. Yes,
I would
we.
say what a minimum of 9 months from now would probably be about the earliest return
Yeah,
if she
minimum.
wanted to
Yeah. Yes,
again.
that is the thing. Does she want to? Is she going to wrestle again? Because then at that point we're talking 2 years, nearly 2 years since her last match. Then again, Alexa Bliss did it, so. We shall
Definitely
see.
not impossible, but yeah, the landscape is definitely going to change, and we are at least not anytime soon getting that Jade Cargill Bianca Belair match.
No, we
That
are not.
That is definitely off the book for quite some time. So, then we did come to the main event here. Cody Rhodes becomes the first champion of the night to actually defend his championship against Randy Orton. And yeah, the particulars around this definitely played a huge factor in this matchup.
It did. This was some of the weirdest vibes I've ever gotten around a match, particularly everyone I ever saw live. Yes, my brother and I were there. We were both in Randy Orton shirts. We wanted Randy to win, but this whole thing, of course, as we've talked about ad nauseum for the last 3 weeks, this has gotten blown up six ways from Sunday. And I mean, upon entrance, both guys get cheered. Cody in particular is very much an entrance guy, an entrance guy for sure.
Everyone definitely sings his entrance. There is zero doubt about that in my
But
opinion.
as soon as the entrance turned off, the boo started. And then when Alicia Taylor was doing her announcements, when she announced Randy Orton's name, he was getting booze too. So the booking of this match turned everything turned the crowd against everyone.
Obviously it finally worked. Evidently there is something that you can do to make Randy Orton heel, and that is team him with Pat McAfee.
Those people still weren't cheering for Cody either, so it's just like, and of course, Kevin letting Pat McAfee have his own entrance that seemed to go on forever and ever. That didn't help matters either.
I was unsurprised, did not see the
Pat's song is
article,
obnoxious
nor
for
do I
that
really
long.
care that much, but I was not surprised to see the idea that Pat McAfee may have been butthurt by the reception that he has gotten from wrestling fans.
We'll get to it at the end, the kind of the fallout of everything. But Cody and but the match starts out with Randy and Pat McAfee trying to double team Cody. Cody coming back, taking out Pat McAfee the crowd with Crossroads, putting him on a table, and then letting Jelly Roll put him through the table. Jelly Roll, who happened to just be sitting at ringside for some reason in a chair at
Yeah,
ringside.
he
He was
pulled a
not introduced in
very
angle.
very Joe Hendry moment for Jelly Roll there.
Yeah,
He
he just kind of showed up. You just
just
said
showed
you'd
up, pointed to the table, and
yeah, so bad at that badass jelly roll. Yeah.
Cody was ready for
Yeah. And then
it.
Cody and Randy go and they have their match. And again, I think this they built into a good match, especially after Orton started bleeding. And that they really put some heat on. It's a once again a weirdly booked match. Cody's getting the heat. Cody's working on Randy's back, which there are now strong rumors that Randy's back injury is has Randy's back has been re-injured, or and he's maybe not
Oof.
necessarily in a good way right now.
As much as I
So that
admire
wasn't
the
all to
man
selling
putting
yet.
on 30 pounds of muscle in his whatever late 40s or whatever, maybe not the most advisable thing.
Maybe not, but then again, you also want some mass on you for these bumps too. It as Logan Paul has suggested that being bulkier can help. It can hurt help in some ways. It can hurt in other ways. We don't totally know everything that's going on, but yeah,
Oh no.
they definitely worked a they worked a Randy Orton match. It was definitely a
Oh.
slow paced match for the bulk of it. Again, I didn't
Yes.
unenjoy the match. I think that told an interesting story to the very least. Until of course the referee goes down, and here comes Pat McAfee in a neck brace. Randy hits the RKO on Cody. Pat goes to make the three. I don't know, and this is where it kind of all kind of falls apart a bit. Like, okay, so was Pratt still so hurt from being put through the table that he had to count slow? Did he purposely choose to count slow, even though he's apparently been given the blessing of the TKO gods to screw Cody over? But still chose didn't do a fast count.
Yeah, the no fast count part, and even the hesitation for him to start the count just even before we're talking about a fast count. Like, I mean, he took a beat to slide into the ring before even thinking about putting his hand down, and that was just. Yeah, there's a lot of questions that we're not going to get any answers. It would seem.
And then an angry Randy Orton
Yeah.
RKOs Pat McAfee. Obviously, one of the biggest pops of the night then at that point. And then Cody hits the crossroads one more time, pins Randy. Crowd not exactly the most happy about it, especially two guys in Section 203. And then Orton takes the belt, hits Cody in the head with it. Goes for the punt kick. It's after the punt kick we notice that we've heard enough now to know that the punt kick itself didn't go poorly. There was a punch at some point in the match from Randy that opened up Cody's eye and blew up Cody's eye apparently.
Oh, I did not hear that news, but
So when
you
Randy
know.
actually first saw the eye was after the punt, so he's like, "Oh shit, what did I do?" I mean, it's he still did it, but it's like you accidentally punt kick a guy, you could fucking kill him.
Yeah, or you can make a bad situation worse.
You can. But yes, Cody Rhodes, I don't know anything. I haven't heard anything about a concussion, but certainly an orbital issue that
Yeah, I mean, he was short sporting
might
quite a
require some
shiner there on
yeah
Raw.
that might require some time off. Backlash does seems less likely for him, which is maybe why another move was made that we'll talk about later, towards but basically at the end. But yeah, you'd think the Cody Randy feud is going to continue, but between Cody's injury, whatever's going on with Orton physically, who knows? What we do know is that the proposed tag match that would put Cody Rhodes and Jelly Roll against Randy Orton and Pat McAfee is not happening, is never happening. Pat McAfee went on his show the next day, said he's going to live up to his word and never appear on WWE TV again. We'll see about that, but certainly not as a heel character. I think we've had our fill of that.
Yeah, if there was some reason for his turn, it really would have helped this
Yeah,
whole
no. There was
situation.
no
And
reason for any of this. We threw it ad nauseam. I mean, we don't need to litigate anymore. It's done. It's over. And then within a couple of days later, I 2 or 3 days later, Jelly Roll has to put out a statement saying that he's okay with Pat now. It's time for him and Pat to go back to their real lives, their real careers. Like,
Oh my God.
that is actually the story. That's the story from Meltzer, is that it's not TKO and WWE who decided not to go forward with this storyline any past WrestleMania. Pat and Jelly Roll decided to back out themselves because it's actually starting to negatively affect them, and they are wrestling fans who realize this isn't good. Ultimately.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of wild that Jelly Roll had that built-in tag match with Danhausen and The Miz and Kit Wilson pretty much on a silver platter and decided to go a completely different route.
Well, he didn't make that decision. But yeah, we'll never know what that would have looked like.
No.
And maybe it's certainly what we got instead was probably better. And but no, Pat, Jelly Roll, Pat, nah, see ya, Pat and Jelly Roll. We'll see what happens with Cody and Randy. I mean, I guess they could If Orton needs some time away, I guess you could work a suspension for him using the banned punt kick or something.
Oh, right. Yeah, I figured that could be a useful tool should they want to use
Yeah.
it.
The
So.
unspoken ban on the punt kick, even though just like the pile driver.
Too dangerous, man. Too dangerous. Boy, that pile driver thing. I feel like that story's gotten its own life here recently that seems completely unnecessary. Okay, that's a wrap on night one. Night two comes upon us. Boy, the surprises hit again in this match. Was not surprised by the outcome of Obafemi versus Brock Lesnar. Was surprised when Brock Lesnar started unwrapping the gloves
Yes.
and then sitting down to untie the shoes to leave them in the ring. I would say a surprising amount of the crowd ready for a thank you Brock chant when
Yeah, the,
this
they were.
started
Yeah.
happening.
Yeah, they were. Yeah, people like Brock. Sorry, people who, sorry, moralizing whatever, people who want everyone to just constantly be thinking about Vince and Brock and all that bullshit. And most people just don't care. Sorry. Sorry, your little kumbaya world doesn't exist, or some people just want
Hey,
to see a guy th see a guy th throw small th throw other guy throw other people around, and that's all they need from a guy. They don't need him. They don't need to know he's a nice guy or not. They don't care. Sorry.
that is pretty much that sums it up pretty well. I mean, it's definitely an appreciation of I do think that Brock has gotten to that point where I think people just booed him just because that was the thing to do,
He was,
but
yeah,
they had
when he's,
appreciated him for most
they
of
have.
the second run, I would
Yeah,
say.
oh, absolutely. I've said it multiple times about the second run. Brock was the best wrestler in the world when he wanted to be. When he wanted to have a great match, he would have a great match. When he just wasn't feeling it, oh boy. That man could put a match in a deep freeze or just rush through a match in a way that's not an exciting way. Not the way the Open match went. Not the way the Goldberg match went at WrestleMania almost 10 years ago. Like those matches, you could say, be the best 5 minute match you've ever seen, and type situations. Just
Yes,
all high energy,
agreed.
all just high energy, just all big moves. Yeah. He did everything you could ever possibly ask of a legend on the way out. To put over the next guy, the next monster. No one could have done a better job.
No, and I mean that's always one of those things too. I'm not sure that it gets said enough. Brock selling is always awesome, and I mean he sold his ass off for Oba in the lead up to this, and he sold his ass off within the match too, even though it's 4:45.
Yeah.
It was great. Loved the match. Everybody loves Obafemi. It is no surprise that he is already ticketed as the next big thing.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest problem with him right now is that what do you do after this? It's like there's just, I mean, I. What did you bring Omos back from AAA so they can do a thing? So that might be what you need to do, because it's just like who the challenge for this guy when while you're waiting
Everyone,
four to 8 months or whatever for him to get a title match?
yeah,
Whether it's at SummerSlam or it's at WrestleMania next year?
everyone is a step back.
Yeah.
Everyone that they pretty much can throw at him is a step back from beating Brock Lesnar. There's
In
no
under
one
5 minutes, yeah.
in under 5 minutes. Like, yeah, there is no one with this. Like you said, like they need to pull someone like an Omos or something like that to try and get a size comparison. Because even though the main roster is bigger, Oba and Brock are just a, you know, like even a notch above the normal big of the main roster. Like, I
Yeah.
mean, Roman Reigns is still like losing like 35 pounds at least to those guys.
Yeah. Oh, you know,
And Roman Reigns is huge.
people don't appreciate how big of a guy Roman Reigns is because he spent so much of his career wrestling either Brock Lesnar or Braun Strowman. That's it. I mean, you don't appreciate how big of a guy he is otherwise because of
Yeah, like
that.
I always remember thinking how big he was because way back in the Shield days, at one of the shows here in Columbus, he walked down. He was maybe like 6 seats to my right or something, like, you know, like I was kind of middle of the row, and I'm just like, that guy is fucking huge. 'Cause you know, it's like one of those moments where you get like that kind of close and it really dawns on you how big some of these wrestlers are. And I mean, I guess I knew how big he was then, and he's added some weight himself since then. And like you said, like it's wild that he's going against people like Brock and Braun Strowman, who are making him look small, but he would make the vast majority of people look tiny, including ourselves.
Well, yes, absolutely. But
So,
yes, that talks about the questions. Of course, Oba's gotta get into title contention. I mean, when do you pull that trigger? Do you pull the trigger as soon as SummerSlam? Do you wait until WrestleMania? Do you have it be a foregone conclusion that he wins the Royal Rumble and just runs through everybody and gets the title at WrestleMania? Which that's fine. I mean, sometimes you just do that. I mean. Hulk Hogan, made a bit of nine WrestleManias where you didn't think he was going to lose.
Yeah, there is a reason
Maybe against Andre.
that the there's that acronym, you know, the KISS acronym, Keep It Simple Stupid.
Yes. People want this man to be champion. Yes.
So
Yeah, but
yeah, you do not need to overthink Obafemi. Like, just
I mean, there are
keep
people
it
you can put up against.
simple.
I mean, there are pretty people you can put against, but yeah. Who do you want to put up against on the way to the title, and who do you want to have to face after he wins the title? You got your Gunthers, you got your Braun Breakers, you got Bronson Reed when he comes back. You have people who can at least somewhat match in size to this guy.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, there are definitely names that, like you said, like it'll be interesting to see when they feed him certain people.
Yeah, certainly. And
That is really going to be the biggest question
right.
moving
And
forward.
as for Brock, there is a question whether is this really it? Which it definitely looks like it on the surface, but could we get that Gunther by way of Paul Heyman drags Brock out for one last match?
Yeah, I mean it's an interesting one. Unlike Pat McAfee, we have not heard an official announcement from
We
Brock
have not heard
Lesnar.
enough anything if we have no
Not
we
that
haven't heard
he's much
anything
of a
official.
statement guy over the
There's people
years.
who wonder if Brock, it was a day of decision and it wasn't something that they were planning on. Because they did
It's
do a video tribute to him
conceivable.
on Raw, but it was filled with a lot of stuff from like a DVD they made of him in like 2003. They did not feel like they were prepared. They were not prepared to have people sit down anytime recently to talk about their feelings about Brock Lesnar.
Yeah. And usually when they do retrospectives like that, they try to get contemporaries and whatnot on microphone. And yeah, that did not happen,
No,
really.
so it does feel like there's some suddenness to this, but again, we will see where things go from here. But on the surface, it looks like Brock is done.
Yep. Not done. Night two, first championship match. Penta retains in a ridiculously entertaining six-pack ladder match at WrestleMania. So, and
Yeah, this
God bless
was.
JD McDonagh for taking the most horrific bumps known to mankind.
Oh, yes, that man. He took a Mexican destroyer on a ladder. I did not see the air between his head and that ladder at all. He may have been. I have no idea. He's got that giant head, so maybe that's got a lot, probably a lot of padding. Who knows? But yeah, no, this was a crazy spot fest, as you thought we would think it would be.
Yeah, it was everything
No
you thought it
less,
would, should,
because I think
would,
it was
and should be.
it maybe more, because again, it's hard to do new things in a ladder match, and I think they did come up with at least some things that you either were new or hadn't seen in a while. Yeah, and then
Yeah, I was pretty surprised. I think there were a couple of moments, and I don't remember them in particular, but like you, it's like I've seen enough ladder matches. You think that everyone's pulled out all the different twists on certain moves, and somehow they did pull out a few new ones that that really made this one pretty memorable.
Yeah, and yeah, this was, I'd say, depending on how you rate Seth and Gunther particularly, I would say this is probably the second or third best match of the weekend. I mean,
Oh,
and yeah,
yeah, that's
this was
fair.
phenomenal. This was yeah. This was, if you're gonna do this, you want the
I
first
mean, it
hour on ESPN to mean.
had what the fourth most amount of time. So, I mean,
Yeah.
I know that that isn't, a perfect indicator, but I do always think that if you want to have a memorable match, it kind of needs to get. Unless you're having that Brock Goldberg, Brock Oba type match, you need to be somewhere north of, let's say 15 minutes.
That's fair.
So,
Yeah,
and
no,
they were,
that's fair to say.
and they were just north of that.
Right. Yes. So yeah. If the idea was to have this big high energy first hour on ESPN, this is this is what you this is how you do it.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Spot fest galore. Perfect. And the hard hitting match before that.
Right. Yes.
Yeah, perfect perfect hour to put on ESPN. Not sure who decided to buy ESPN Unlimited because of that, but I will worry about that for someone that's getting paid to worry about that. First match of the I guess call it main card here or just the PLE card. Trick Williams with Lil Yachty takes on Sami Zayn for the United States Championship and wins. Another one. I guess I was not completely surprised by this title change.
No, I'm
Sami
not surprised by this.
Zayn, something. Yeah, he's in a real transition spot here, as
He's
is
in a
Trick Williams.
real rough spot. This was obviously far from the best match of the weekend, but they had a smart match in terms of they even got sympathy on Lil Yachty as a civilian who Sammy just attacked from behind and started beating up. He didn't do anything to. And in this case, he didn't do anything to deserve what he got. And Sammy was more aggressive in this match, and so you just this was a total double turn.
Yeah, it was. I feel like everyone kind of saw that coming. It seemed to be leaning that way. The crowd loves chanting "Whoop that trick," and Sammy has been kind of whiny here.
Yeah.
So.
So yeah, the smartly booked. I don't. I again. I feel like Sammy's more of a guy who needs a chance. Who just needs to leave and and need to change the scenery, even if it's more opposed to a guy who needs a heel turn.
That's something that I feel like I have reserved for AEW talk and more Chris Jericho talk. Have not thought about how long someone like Sami Zayn has been on our TVs on a consistent basis and could use a refresher.
Yeah, he
You
yeah.
know,
He say he
I
simply just uses a, needs a refresher. We've seen him as a face. We've seen him as a heel, multiple times. I don't know if he gets to go. I mean, I don't know. He does have a level of obnoxiousness to him that has worked as a heel in the past. But then we kind of turns up the funnier part of his personality. But anyway, we've seen that all already. We've seen him work his way through a heel run and into becoming the honorary Uso, and then how that all turned out, and then we've seen them come back together as baby faces. He's done it. He's done it all except win a world title, and that's just not in the cards for him anymore. He's
Oh
had a good
no.
career. No one can say he has not had a good career, especially for especially just for a skinny ginger fella. He's had a great career for a guy who is not the type at all.
And it at some juncture he is going to get in the WWE Hall of Fame.
Yeah, right. Yes. He's had it again.
That
Nothing against his
that's how good
career,
of a
but
career
it
yeah,
just.
that's how good of a career he's had. He 100% is making the Hall of Fame. But yeah, championship not really in the cards. Despite a win and despite a previous championship reign, the Demon Finn Balor makes a big comeback and defeats Dominic Mysterio here in a street fight.
Yes, and another match I'll say, WWE hardcore match, nothing more, nothing less. What did feel like less though was the Demon. It feels like it just doesn't work in this day and age anymore.
Yeah, as much as I enjoy the entrance, as much as I appreciate the art that goes into all of his makeup work that comes with it. Yeah, there, I don't know why, but Triple H has not really leaned into the creepy stuff very well, whether it's been the Wyatt Six or this stuff with Finn Balor here. Despite clearly liking it, like he has some affinity for it, but yeah, it all could be better. So, and yeah, and I mean, I guess we got a little bit of follow up on Raw, and we can get to that, I suppose, a little bit later here. Next up on the hit list, Rhea Ripley defeats Jade Cargill for the WWE Women's Championship. Shock of all shocks, Rhea Ripley is very over.
Yes. Rhea Ripley is still incredibly over. This match ended up being, want to call it the best singles match of Jade Cargill's career? I guess if you want to call it that, I wouldn't disagree.
Yeah, I
I guess
mean,
I do agree. Yes, I do agree.
yeah, it wasn't something that I really thought about in the moment, I don't think. But it was one of those things I feel like at least got a little bit of talk going into this that Jade needed to have a good match because everyone knew that Rhea was a good good wrestler, and yeah, she did.
Yeah, she definitely did. I mean, the finish itself was incredibly well timed. I mean, what people? Okay, so of course, Beechin and B-Fab get involved, and that which brings out Io Sky. The match that the spot that I think people aren't giving enough credit to that I was really impressed by is Jade Cargill goes to boot Io Sky off the ropes just as she's. Takes flight for her moonsault onto Meechan
Yeah, B-Fab.
and
Yeah,
B-Fab. Yeah,
Meechan.
I want to say I was trying to that's just my friend in their name, but thank you. This like the timing of this was just perfect in terms of Io taking off before getting booted in the face, and then then Rhea and Jade get into their reversals and all that. Attempts to get their finisher in reversal. Rhea does a out of the jaded. Rhea does an amazing kick under through Jade's legs and then hits her with a rip tag. Not quite in one fluid motion because obviously you need to the rip tag takes some doings to set up,
Yeah,
but like maybe one
there's
and
a
a
little bit of
half
a
or
cinch in there. Yeah.
But it felt like just it was as close to one fluid motion as you could get to do that finish. And again, yep, Jade, I think Jade did prove something here. Rhea's the champion again. She's going to SmackDown, so that should provide her a little bit of a change of scenery and some new opponents.
Yeah, which she desperately needed. Her obviously and Liv Morgan, despite the fact there's probably been more time in between than I would like, but they could still use some time off before facing each other.
And
So
for Jade,
yeah.
I don't know exactly know what's next for Jade. I hope at this point after the match she had, they're not going to give up on her or anything. And certainly with three big shows in the entire in the month of May alone, we can certainly work a rematch in somewhere.
Yeah, I would imagine that there is going to be a rematch somewhere along the line here. And I had imagined that there's still good things in the cards for Jade Cargill, depending upon what the status of her contract situation is, I suppose, along the way here. So, last but not least here, Roman Reigns defeats CM Punk for the World Heavyweight Championship. And
This
what is the match of the weekend?
match of the weekend for me. I didn't see every two-bit indie show, and I'm glad I didn't. Match of the weekend. This is other than maybe you could ask for a traditional face heel dynamic. This was everything you want a WrestleMania main event to be, to feel like. It felt like a big match. All the way through. Yes, there were some issues with the consistency of the rules of a normal wrestling match, and how long you should just be allowed to fight outside, and whether hitting someone with the steps should be a DQ, which yes, it should.
it's kind of interesting. That is definitely one where the home audience had a better vibe for what was going on, just because I would imagine that Michael Cole filled things in a
Yeah,
little bit
Michael
better
Cole
than.
is filling in with the he's just refs giving them a lot of leeway, which I know Jeremy does not accept that as an excuse to just disregard the referee, disregard the rules. And he was getting a little antsy about it, but of course, again, it was all told the story of the match. It was a fantastic match, everything you want from a WrestleMania main event. Towards the final stretch, they both kick it out of finishers. They're both exhausted, but the older man in CM Punk gave out first, dropped Roman Reigns from it from the go to sleep position, leading to Roman being able to hit not one but two additional spears to get the win and win the world championship. Fantastic close to the night. Fantastic close to the weekend. Yes, night two felt more like a WrestleMania than night one. I'm glad I attended both, and got the whole experience. Wish I could have gotten in which the get-in price for night two could have been less if I'd waited some things out. But again, I incredibly enjoyable experience, certainly. And I think before we get to Raw, I think we need to maybe talk about the vibe of the weekend. I attended last year. My brother Mike and I did too, but did as well with me as well. You and Jeremy did not attend last year, and I think we both
No.
made comments that it didn't. As you're walking through every bar and every hotel and casino, every bar and restaurant, it had a. They were all in on the theme this year, especially if you're on the south
Oh.
side of the. Especially if you're on the south side of the strip where the MGM, all the MGM hotels are. There's definitely a bigger relationship between WWE and the MGM hotels this year, as we also talked, something else, other things we could talk about. But it just felt like the town was painted in WWE colors way more than last year. And that really added to the experience. Everyone was all in
Yeah,
on
I
it.
mean, it was hard to miss advertisements for the WWE, no matter where you
Right.
looked.
Yes, and of course, Team Stunt Granny won a wrestling trivia contest at the B side of the House of Blues at Mandalay Bay. That's a that was a that 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 was that was some of the most fun we had. I'm certainly we saw
That was
a
quite enjoyable.
yeah, and then the next night we after night one we saw a karaoke night a hosted by Mick Foley, who was. If a bit rushed, still, highly entertaining and engaging as a host and a surprisingly decent singer.
Yeah,
Yeah,
it was a fairly enjoyable night.
and you, Jeremy, and I took in a Stardom show at the Palms on Friday.
That was wild that in a show that I already knew that there were some problems with because there were some visa issues. There were even more issues when it came to the wrestling itself. That was wild. It was one of those things where I was interested just because I had never been to a Stardom show, and I had heard enough about it, and enough of the WWE women had come from there that it was of interest to me
And a
to take
handful
a
of
chance.
AEW women were also on the show, so we knew some people.
Yes.
Yeah, so I mean, again, I was unaware that the show was only going to be 2 hours long, which in some ways, made it more enjoyable and fun and, high energy, fast moving.
Oh,
But
yeah.
you're so trained that wrestling shows should be at least big wrestling shows should be at least 3 hours. You wonder. Is that's it? That's what
Yeah.
we spent this money on? A 2 hour show? Again, an entertaining 2 hour show,
Could have
and it's Las
used at
Vegas.
least an extra half hour.
Yeah, we could certainly use an
And you
extra
do
half an hour.
wonder if the visa situation played into that some or not.
I mean, it's Las Vegas. You could certainly lose more money in 2 hours, depending on what your vices are. So again, we sat, we watched the show. It was we were entertained by it. So all good there.
So that was fun, and definitely that was one of those things that ahead of time had not thought about, that I had never attended a two-night WrestleMania. Therefore, I had kind of not thought about the whole indie vibe for a two-night WrestleMania. And a lot of it happened ahead of WrestleMania, which I think is pretty smart to
Yeah.
avoid wrestling fatigue. Also, something to keep in mind should I want to. There were a couple of shows on Wednesday night that definitely would have been of interest to me. It just really was one of those things I hadn't thought through. Because WrestleMania 34 was the last one I had gone to, so Had not thought about how the two knights had really changed everything around it, even though clearly the Indies do still glom on to WrestleMania to
Oh,
help out their bottom
yes.
line.
Yes. What? And some of them maybe may have taken a bit of a bath too. I mean, there were some, at least, I don't know what these promotions are thinking running at 11, so running at like 11 a.m. That's insane, and that's just a recipe for disaster. But and the indie scene isn't as strong as it was pre-COVID or even pre-AEW, really. Pre-WWE and pre-NXT going to 2 hours, everyone, everyone and their mother being signed.
It really is tough with the WWE having their own developmental and like WWE ID. And like you said, even AEW to a lesser degree really takes away some probably of the upper level talent
Yeah.
off the
That's why,
board.
that's why so much of independent wrestling nowadays is so deathmatch reliant, I think, too. That definitely plays a part. Because these dirty, grimy guys, they're not getting signed anytime soon. Who do this shit?
No, most of them are not. Do we
But
want
yeah.
to is there, I guess, is there anything else from the weekend that we want to cover before moving on?
No. We can move on to Monday Night Raw. I think we covered the weekend pretty well.
I did not pull up the Raw results. Not that it's that hard, in a lot of ways. I would say one of the bigger things. Do you want to talk about your experience there first? As I just was drowning my sorrows and watching the Penguins
It
lose.
got the experience got the worst during the last segment, so I'll save it.
Because I'd have to say this feels like, and maybe it's just me not having paid attention, it felt like one of the more noteworthy after WrestleMania Raws in a while. Just
I feel like last it didn't lick the boots of last year. I mean, last year there were like three or four, major happenings and another smaller happenings. This one felt like it was a bunch of smaller happenings. But go ahead. I did not watch it on regular TV. I had a miserable experience watching this whole show. So let's talk about it as impartially as possible. Yeah, without that.
I guess I'm just thinking about it and maybe I'm wrong here. I felt like there were more debuts here on this Raw than there had been
There
in the
were
recent Raws afterwards, and that's more where my brain is
debuts.
going.
But it's that NXT debut I don't like, where you just assume people should know who Ethan Page is.
It is kind of interesting that Sol Ruka was the other one to debut. She has gotten some relative, to your point here, she has gotten some exposure on WWE TV recently.
Yes.
She had a
Yes.
Saturday night's main event. She had this, like, she's
She
had
had a
some.
very impressive Royal Rumble, and her in-ring style leads itself to be more, okay, wow, this person is very super impressive. I should pay attention to her. Ethan Page is not that way. Ethan Page is a very he's kind of a bit of an old school heel, needs character development, and we really did, we didn't learn anything about his character. I didn't think his match with Javon Evans was anything special. So, yeah, it
And
just.
he did get a cheating. Not that he was doing the cheating, honestly, just because Rusev and Javon Evans seemed to be continuing their feud that started in the ladder match. Which
Yeah.
I do think will be a good, starter feud for Javon on the main roster.
But Penta's also going to be stay involved as he was, taken out by Rusev. But he was pushed off the ropes by during his save by Ethan Page so that Rusev could get take the advantage on him too. Yeah, this
Yeah.
was it's again. I'm not sure. Are Rusev and Ethan Page going to have an alliance? I don't. Yeah, I don't know. I wasn't super blown away by that part of the show for sure.
Yeah, Ethan Page definitely needs more exposure on the main roster. And they did take that debut a little more for granted than they could have. I would definitely agree with that. Yeah, and I mean, I guess that is kind of funny that hold on. Is this the right one? Is this Raw after WrestleMania? Because why did I not think that it was Rhea and Io versus the Kabuki Warriors? I don't know why I thought this was a singles match. But and they really put this feud to sleep here, I would say.
Yeah,
Or does it
I don't
continue?
think they really did. I mean, for Rhea Ripley's part in it, yes, because this was her last Raw before going to SmackDown. And this match was, in many ways, match was probably the highlight of the night. This was a really, really good match, really fun match. They went Rhea and Io win after the Riptide and Moonsault onto Kairi for the pin. So we have no
Yep.
closure between Io and Asuka. So that I imagine still
Fair.
is still to come.
That is fair. That one happened that we did not cover. CM Punk comes out and does a I'm bummed, but it is what it is kind of speech afterwards. He is definitely not dousing any could CM Punk retire sometime soon rumors with the way this promo went. But because Cody Rhodes ended up showing up, there's definitely a possibility of a brand switch for one CM Punk in the
Yeah,
near future
or
if
what
they
have you. Yeah,
decide to
yeah.
go that route.
Yeah. Yeah, Punk's speech was about how title championship matches can kind of opportunities can come at unexpected times and yeah, and it ended with Cody's to telling him just name the time and place. It feels like we've spent about 2 years or so teasing these two. That eventually this is gonna happen. So that when it finally does, Triple H can say, "See, I've been planting the seeds all along." Like, but it does actually feel like over the, maybe SummerSlam or so, we may very well be getting this match finally. Yeah, so something
Yes.
definitely, so again, something for Punk to sink his teeth into, and keep him going.
Oh yeah, because I mean, I guess we did already talk about Sol Ruka. She interrupts Liv Morgan's championship celebration, ends up getting a match, and ends up also losing the match because of Zarya, her opponent on NXT this week, which we may or may not get to here.
Yeah, no, but Sol Ruka, good if it is what official Monday Night Raw debut. She took the champion to the limit. Again, she is very impressive. She can get over on athleticism alone. Promos are not her strong suit, as I believe more you and Jeremy have been talking about for a bit now.
When they put her in the right situation, she's fine. I do not think what they've been doing recently has done her any favors. There's gray area and there's being wishy-washy, and I feel like they've been wishy-washy with her and Zarya recently. Yeah, her athleticism will 100% get her over because she's fucking awesome.
Yeah, so and as we said, she took the champion to the limit and only lost because Zarya interfered. It's a good debut.
Paul Heyman comes out, does I guess there was kind of a lot of talking here, which is not surprising given the night after Raw.
Yeah, this
Talks up
yeah.
Brock Lesnar and then turns to the future here with Braun Breaker now back at the helm
And
of the Vision.
well, before that, we get Logan Paul getting maybe the most heat of the entire weekend. Just the booze just raining down upon this man as he starts talking about all these YouTubers and TikTokers and streamers who want to come into our business. All these outsiders he can't stand. He said it before, but it never hit like it did that like it did the other night. It was fantastic.
Great asshole. I will always get a hoot out of that stuff. Braun Breaker comes out. Of course, Seth Rollins was not going to sit idly by here.
No, he did not, and he nearly took Braun Breaker out again with that damn chair. That I didn't see it. I didn't. I still haven't really looked back on it. At just how much that chair, or maybe the edge of that chair, got split Brock in the back of the head. But ooh, that was brutal. That ooh, that blood that was pouring down looked brutal.
I must not have been paying enough attention to that. I will put it that way.
Okay.
Of interest here, Bianca Belair out, Street Profits back in, evidently here now. Because just when you think Seth Rollins is gonna get the tar beaten out of him 3-on-1. The Street Profits make the save here.
Yeah, good return for the Street Profits. The division can't face the Usos, every week. So it's good to get another team in here. We haven't seen the Street Profits in so long. So good. Now they'll Montez Ford and Logan Paul will certainly have some very good interactions. For sure. And I
They
hope
make
along the way we do get them in a singles match before the tag title match. That could be tremendous.
and we did have some dueling video package promos from JD McDonagh and Finn Balor on Monday leading up to their match. This feels like I'm trying to remember. Oh, this kind of feels like in AEW where Darby Allin took out John Moxley first and then started picking on like Daniel Garcia. Because
Yeah.
again, as much as I appreciate JD McDonagh, Finn Balor picking on him just seems excessive at this point, to be honest with you. In no way was I surprised that Finn Balor won that match.
No. No, not at all. No. But then Dom comes out, attacks Finn. Finn comes back. JD pulls Dom out of the ring before the coup de grace again. This feud must continue for some reason.
Because they have nothing better to
It's
do.
yeah. WrestleMania felt pretty final here. But no, it's one of those times where it's backlash season, kids.
Quick turnaround, multiple pay-per-views. I got to stretch
Yeah.
things out that Do not need stretched out whatsoever. Oh yeah, 'cause I mean, I guess we did get the official and we talked about it, Rhea Ripley, Io Sky splitting. And then after that, what could be of interest here in the main event, Roman Reigns comes out.
Well, before that, and believe me, I want to get to this. We did get a Gunther promo interrupted by LA Knight, so that's the new feud.
That
Much more to say than
was
that. That
rather.
that's the new feud that's going to keep Gunther busy before going for the belt, basically.
They're definitely going to keep LA Knight and Gunther busy leading into things here. But yeah, Roman Reigns seemingly makes up with the Usos and calls them more equals than they were in the past. Is that accurate?
I guess that's what he was saying, but I couldn't hear. I could barely hear it over the asshole behind me, who was just all night fucking hating Roman Reigns like it's 2017 again. Oh my God. Okay, I got a question for you. Is part-time chief a good insult? Remotely funny or engaging or cutting or whatever.
When somebody owns up to it and it's just like, yeah, I'm important enough that I don't need to be here every week. And
Okay.
really was even saying these things in the build up against CM Punk, it's like
Yes, yes. And
main event of
he's
WrestleMania.
also saying he's gonna be around more now. How
Yeah.
about hearing it like a fucking thousand times from a dude behind you who just wouldn't shut up the whole fucking night and then just became the most obnoxious. I've never had a worse experience. I've never had a life worse. I wish someone would knock this motherfucker out.
Oh man.
I wouldn't, and I wouldn't have cared if he had died, basically, if from this punch. I would. It was that fucking bad.
I have had experiences like that before. It's been a while since I've had that type of experience. But I do not envy you. Sometimes the crowd around you can definitely make things worse than they need to be.
Maybe these ticket prices do need to be higher so that people like this can't afford to go to these fucking shows.
Unfortunately, it's have more people like that at the show. It's gonna
Oh
do the
yes, the
complete
entitlement.
opposite.
Yeah, we got that we've just been talking about. There's a level of entitlement in the prices of things. Say that. Yeah. There's a level of entitlement. Yeah. All right. So I've gone on my rant about that. And no, I'm not wishing some drunk asshole dead. I didn't. You know what I'm saying. But that's for my karma.
Again, I have definitely had similar vibes going on in the past.
Yeah, but yes, the as for the promo itself, again, it not sure where aligning the Usos so much with Roman again helps anybody. Which is why when Roman was in interrupted by Jacob Fatu, you start to think, huh. Could we be getting a new bloodline going against Roman Reigns if the Usos turned?
That would be interesting. That definitely would make things more interesting than a reboot of the Bloodline, but a more friendly version thereof.
Yeah, I do think. It would. But of course, Jacob Fatu and Roman can do it. Jacob cuts a pretty damn passionate promo about how he needs everything Roman has and challenges with a match at Backlash, which is there, which is your probably maybe your hint right there that Cody's not going to be able to work Backlash because I don't know if Roman would have worked Backlash. They would have maybe saved him for Italy. if he didn't really need to be on
Yeah, on the
Backlash.
card. Yeah, they might have sped that feud up a little bit, given Cody's medical condition. Because that's definitely one that it'll keep you out a little bit of time, but not a long, long time.
No, I don't think it's I don't think it's a long time injury, but certainly maybe more than 3 weeks, which is leading us now to getting Roman Reigns versus Jacob Fatu for the title for the first time ever on 3 weeks' notice in a match. Maybe Jacob can't win, but maybe since Roman Reigns' last title reign lasted over 3 years, cutting him off after 3 weeks could be like some big shock moment.
I mean, I don't see it being
I don't.
that short. It's definitely not going to reach the length the previous one was.
Well, no.
And that really does it for Raw. Do you just want to punch on out of this thing here, sir, and not worry about NXT and AEW before hitting the old adios?
Certainly, we have no need to. I did not. I barely watched anything from either of those shows. I couldn't. I just couldn't do it. I watched the main event. So, the main event of AEW. I watched the, I believe if next week, we can catch up on those shows next week.
Fair,
But we had.
fair.
I would say we had a really great experience in Vegas for WrestleMania. Which just makes it all the. Go ahead.
I will say probably second best destination for
Okay.
WrestleMania. I still would prefer New Orleans over Las Vegas, but Las Vegas is either pretty walkable or a short Uber ride away.
Right, yes. Yes.
Neither of these situations is a bad situation.
No.
I do think that the pricing down in New Orleans is a little bit better, which is also a bit of a draw.
But you haven't been there since 2018.
I have not been there since 2018. I'm sure it's more expensive.
Right.
I
But probably
still
not compared to
don't,
Vegas yet.
yeah, I still don't think it's as expensive as Vegas because I live in a fairly large city, larger than Las Vegas, I might add, and prices are not as high as they are in Las Vegas.
Right. No. That's
So,
that's tourist gouging at its at some of its worst. Yes. But ultimately, all a really good time. I get
yes.
love the vibes around town. It just sucks so bad that I ran into that one wrestling fan at the end that ruined it that just ruined one of those date nights for me. Because otherwise, a very positive experience. People seemed excited. People seemed up for it. It really felt like a bit of a community, even though we didn't really talk to any other people, but it seemed like a big community coming together. Which is just makes it kind of sad how they're taking it away from not just the United States, but the entire Western world to go to Saudi Arabia next year.
It is gonna be even funnier by the week that they don't announce this. Like, I feel like it's been a year in advance kind of announcement, if not longer,
Yeah, I read
here
something today
as
that
of
they're,
late.
yeah, I read something that they're. I mean, because they've already announced that they're going in June. So the end of June, we're getting that Night of Champions with King and Queen of the Ring, all that hoopla over in Saudi Arabia. They're planning on making the trip, whatever's going on in the world over there. So, and the last I read today was also that they're circling in on the end of March, actually, for possibly for WrestleMania, not in April, because March does technically mean the end of Riyadh season, and you can't. Yeah. And this is all about it's all about Riyadh season, as you know.
That you brought up a decent point there that I had kind of forgotten about that I believe Jeremy and I might have at least texted about that maybe has not made the podcast. It would be interesting. Some of these northern cities I would be like the Philadelphias and New Yorks. If they had held them at the same time that they had held these Las Vegas ones, aka later in April, I might have a little more interest in them, to be honest with you. Just because 2 weeks is about a 20-degree swing in weather. I'm still not going to say it's going to be great,
No.
but it's definitely going to be warmer in the Philadelphias and Columbus's,
Good.
anything along this northern latitude kind of
Yeah.
area.
But for the most part, it feels like they've settled on the North gets SummerSlam. And
Yeah,
that's
I was gonna
perfectly good.
say
That's perfectly good, yeah.
I got no problems with heading south in late March or early April.
Right. No. It feels great to do that. Yes.
So it's one of the few things that I have advocated for quite some time to have some type of holiday in March and or April, so that we're not waiting from fucking New Year's Eve. Or New Year's Day until Memorial Day for a fucking day off. WrestleMania always fits right squarely in that time frame, and I do not mind it for that or that very reason. So, yep, there it is. Wrap up on WrestleMania weekend. Oh, you know what? I need to pull this out. We went to a couple of breweries, and let me grab at least one of them here. Because, I mean, I did try various Nevada beers over the weekend here, and I need to look at my own activity before talking about the one that I just had here. This was one that you talked me into, and it seemed like a fairly new place. Bad Beat Brewing, not on the strip. All of the breweries in Las Vegas, not on the strip. But
No, they
Bad
are
Beat
not.
Brewing was pretty tasty. It would look like my two favorite beers there were their adult lemonade was a fruited sour that was fucking delicious and did taste like a beer version of lemonade instead of going with I've definitely had some mixed drink versions of lemonade. And their other one that I really liked was their Cloudy Days Hazy IPA, also very, very good. Bell time beer for the actual show here. Jackie O's Brewing. I busted out a special one here. Bourbon Barrow Oro Negro. This is an imperial stout conditioned on spices and aged in bourbon barrels. This is fucking delicious. And this was imperial stout aged 17 months in bourbon barrels. With cocoa nibs, vanilla beans, habanero, and cinnamon. All things that play very well with an imperial stout. Very, very good beer. And should you be in the vicinity of Ohio, I believe Jackie O's has a pretty good reach as far as distribution goes because they are one of the earlier breweries here in the great state of Ohio. So, yeah, pick up beer from Jackie O's if you can get your hands on it because it's really, really good. Whether it's this Oro Negro or it's something else like Who Cooks for You, one of their kind of basic hazy IPAs. So, Bell Time Beer from Matt DeFrango. Levin, the brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us at other places like Spotify, iHeartRadio, and YouTube Music. Have a good night, grandkids.
Later.